Good morning and God's blessing to each of you this morning. Good to be here, gathered together. Good to have John up front again. It's been weeks, almost months. I'm not sure how long it's been, but it's been a while. So we're glad to have him back. And a special blessing to Henry as you head off for Bolivia, and also Mike serving in Greece or Italy, wherever your stay takes you. God bless you and be with you as you go. Special welcome this morning to each one, especially the visitors. Thanks for joining us this morning. Visitors are a real blessing to church life. Interesting, sometimes you go home or you're with someone that wasn't able to be at the service, and when they talk about Sunday morning, they say, were there any visitors? Were there any visitors there? If so, who were the visitors? It's an important part of church life. We like to be connected, and we extend that welcome and that connection this morning, not only with just the visitors, but also our church, our family, church family here. Thanks for being here. May the grace and peace of God be multiplied in our lives as we seek to follow him. This morning, looking forward to sharing. I feel like God has spoken to me. Well, he speaks to each one of us as we open the word and look into that word, and I'm excited to share. This morning, I do have the title of the message that I'd like to share this morning, contributing to congregational life God's way. And before you turn to 1 Peter, that's where I'd like to take our text from. But I would like if you would turn to Matthew chapter 16 first. And as you turn there, I'd like to set up the whiteboard and attempt to a very elementary illustration that I hope this morning can, what would you say, be a background or a backdrop to what, not a backdrop, it's a little bit of a separate, almost a separate subject, and yet it's key or important to, as we think about congregational life and contributing to congregational life, and not only just the way I think congregational life should be, but how does God want that to be? Contributing to congregational life God's way. For that, for that whiteboard example, this is something that you're very well aware of. It's a principle that we know super well, and it's foundational to this principle. All right, so that line represents a field. And that field is the farmer's field. And it's ready to plant. He's got it all tilled up. And you know how that is. As you work the fields or the garden, you get the soil ready to plant. And then the farmer comes along, and again, you have to use your imagination here, but he digs a little hole and he puts a little seed in the ground, okay? Just a little seed. And he puts that little seed in the ground and covers it up. And that little seed is in the ground, it's buried, and you can't even see it anymore. It's under the ground. You ever plant the garden and then the weeds started coming up and you needed to rototill it and you wondered where the rows are because it's so It's just all the same. So we planted that little seed. Now, a question for the children, a real simple question. You saw me draw that little circle. So we suppose there's a little seed down in the ground. What's going to happen to that little seed? What happens to that little seed? Did you ever see a seed jump out of the ground and lay on top of the dirt? What happens to that little seed down in the ground? Real simple. What's it going to do? Anybody help us? What happens to a seed when you put it in the ground? It's going to grow. What were you going to say, Sarah? What's that? I still missed it. Same thing. It's going to grow. You put that little seed, and it's going to grow, right? There's a little tiny little seed. Did you ever dig one out before the sprout came up? What happened to the little seed part? Sometimes you plant a potato, and you want to see, are the potatoes, are they growing? Are they going to make it? And you dig down, and that little seed potato that you put in the ground, it's starting to get shriveled up. And if you pick it up, sometimes they don't actually smell very good. That little seed actually starts to die, and it starts to rot. But that seed that died, it was mentioned that there's life that comes out of that. I wanted to just, so we have that little seed down there, and if you give it time, if you planted a little acorn seed, after a while, if you wait long enough, that little seed will grow and grow and grow, and it grows into a beautiful tree. If a farmer plants that little seed and you wait long enough, and after a while, out comes, I can't draw, you have to use your imagination, but there's a corn plant that comes up, and hanging on the side of that little corn is some ears of corn. Some of you have, we have some sweet corn that we need to harvest. There's corn that'll grow out of that. And maybe there's, depending what he plants, there can be, suppose, some wheat. Or even a sunflower. Whatever you plant, if there's nutrition in the ground, if there's moisture in the ground, if there's sunshine there, those little seeds, they die. But through the death of that seed, out comes a plant. And we have our gardens, and it multiplies. It grows. And it's beautiful because God created it that way. A little sprout of life comes up. You turned in your Bibles, you might be open to Matthew 16. I'd like to, if we would read together, verse 24 and verse 25. All right, Matthew chapter 16, and we'd like to read together verse 24 and verse 25. All together. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Think about that little seed. That little seed went down on the ground. Do you ever see that little seed again? Not the seed itself. You'll see the results of it. But Jesus here, he has a profound statement. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Am I willing to lose my life? Surrender my visions and dreams, my personal agenda, the way I thought everything should be? When we let go of those things and let God work out the details, Jesus says that we can find life. And I think we can find abundant life. When there is life, God multiplies things. That small little seed produces a big tree. If it's an apple tree, it'll produce lots of apples. If it's a corn, it produces many kernels of corn, lots of wheat. Whatever you plant, God has a way of multiplying that. And I believe this morning, each one of us desire that God would, that we would experience life. We all appreciate and enjoy life, and we want abundant life. Tomorrow, a lot of us will go to work because we need to provide for our family, make a living. And in a sense, that can produce a return which helps us to get through life. And it's easy, it's maybe natural that we put so much emphasis on some of those material things that we can get a hold of and we think that's life. But Jesus says that's not real life. That's temporal life. Jesus wants to provide real, true, lasting life. And that comes through death to self. So this morning, as we move into our subject, this is a little bit of a side note, but I would like us to keep this in mind, and I'm just gonna, for the sake of an illustration, this is kind of a cloud around our thought. Keep this in the back of your mind, and this is the caption that I'd like to put in it: life is found through death to self. And in this little caption, the theme for that is what Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. I don't write that all out, but we read it together. That's foundational. Something I'm working on. Seems hard to do sometimes, but life is found through death to self. And I just like to, like I said, keep that in mind as we look at the subject of contributing to congregational life. So, little bit of maybe a change of thought in relation to congregational life. We all appreciate healthy congregational life. Maybe I'd ask for a raise of hands. Some of you are members here or normal attendees here. Some of you might have your own congregation somewhere else that you're part of. But how many here this morning, I'd like to see a raise of hands. How many here today would like to be an asset in congregational life, whether it's here or your home or wherever it is, okay? That's something that we desire. We want to be part of the body of Christ. We want to be faithful. We want to be an asset. We want to help. We realize that life isn't all about us. We want to contribute. And I talked about being connected. Connection to the right thing is healthy. John, chapter 15, Jesus talks about, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and we need to be connected to Christ. We desire a connection. When people connect to Christ, they will want to connect to other followers of Christ. And when that happens, we call that congregational life. We're a congregation, church family. Followers of Christ will connect to a church or a congregation. And yet when we do that, there's often a lot of different levels of commitment and different levels of participation in congregational life. There's some people that, well, we're all influenced by the things that we've experienced in life, our backgrounds and the way we were raised, just different experiences that we've had, and that produces different levels of participation. Some people are highly involved and love to be involved, and the next person is happy to see it happen, glad to be part of a congregation where there's others that help, and it takes all all kinds to make up congregational life. My point with that is it's easy for me to see how congregational life should be from my perspective. Today we have a lot of different backgrounds and diversity, and a few weeks ago Jess preached a sermon here and emphasized the value of that, how much of a blessing that is, and I'm thankful that we have that. But that can also produce some challenges as we work together, that we would blend. It's easy for me to just think that, you know, I can't understand why people do it that way, or maybe I've been here for a long time and we always do it this way. That's just the way congregational life goes, or we never do it that way. We all have different opinions about how congregational life should work. When I look at congregational life and it's all about me and my way, that leads to death of congregational life. But when it's about what Christ wants, when it's about God's way, then we can find abundant life. So turn to 1 Peter. We'd like to just look at that as a little bit of a text. Would have been great to read the whole chapter of 1 Peter. And maybe I'm pulling this a little out of context this morning, but there's so much here. I have a few thoughts picked out from several of the different chapters here. But I would like to read chapter 4 as kind of a text, and then go back and pick out a few points in ways that we can contribute to congregational life God's way. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'd like to just read the chapter. And as I read, think about ways, things that are listed in that chapter that can help us contribute to church life, congregational life, the things that God wants us to do. Chapter 4, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God hath given, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. All right. A couple points that I wanted to just pick out of, again, I just read from chapter 4 there, but I'd like to look through the book of 1 Peter here. And one of the things that I'm sure is foundational to contribute to congregational life is that we need to have Christ as our cornerstone. Now, that's not specifically listed in chapter 4, but in chapter 2, verse 6, if you flip back a page or two, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." If we want to have good congregational life, it's imperative that we're a body of believers and Christians. There's a lot of people that meet together in society with a common interest. There's clubs and there's all kinds of societies, and people meet together just over a common interest. This morning, we have a common interest. And if Jesus Christ is not the foundation of our gathering together in our church life, our congregational life, if it's not about Christ, then I don't think it's any different than a society. Good congregational life, contributing to congregational life, we need to have Christ as our cornerstone. It needs to be the foundation of our church. Some of you know that several of us work together at building, and it's multiple times you go out to look at a building, somebody needs some help, there's something that's wrong and the building is leaning, and or there's a problem with it, and you go out and it's like, you know, we can brace it all up, but do you realize that the foundation is crumbling, or it's slid off the foundation? That's the problem. That's the real root issue. And if we don't get the building back on the foundation or get a foundation under it, it's going to continue to crumble. And this morning, as a church family, if Jesus Christ is not our foundation, the building continues, it will crumble. We must be rooted and grounded on Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus needs to be the foundation, the cornerstone of our congregational life. And I talk about, this morning we're talking about congregational life, but that also, I guess it goes without saying that it boils down to each one of us individually. Are you rooted and grounded on Christ? Again, I'm not asking for a raise of hands this morning, but everybody here, we want to be part of a congregation and contribute to congregational life, and I'm positive that we also want Jesus to be our foundation. And even if we went out and declare, we'd find a lot of people that also believe that Christ needs to be the foundation. But how do we know if we are building on the foundation or not? This morning, it's great to think that we are, but how do you know if Christ is our rock? A couple real small things that I believe can test that foundation. In a building, as you put weight on it, you can see whether it remains firm or not. In the Christian life, in congregational life, you can put weight on it. There's just, as we work together with brothers and sisters and each other, sometimes there can be weight added into relationships. And in order for that to, we can tell by the response of that, sometimes we can tell what our foundation is on. And it helps to reveal what's important to us. I think we should be honest with that and look at that. When we respond in anger, frustration, or bitterness, resentment, Theirs are not characteristics of the Christian. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to put off the old man and put on the new man. But when we respond with the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, and we work together through things, then that is evidence of Christ alive and working in our life. God help us to have Christ as the cornerstone in each of our lives, and also it will be in our church life. Another point, we need to have love for truth and not a love for self. A love for truth and not a love for self. In that same verse in chapter 2, it talked about the Jews believed that Jesus was not the cornerstone, and they were confounded. They did not believe the truth because they thought they knew so much themselves. They were expecting something different than Christ because they didn't have their focus was not, they were not seeking truth. And this morning, I think that's something that I need to be reminded about. Do I have a hunger and a thirst after truth? Or do I already know so much that there's just not a lot that I need to be taught or told because I know truth so thoroughly? Is that where you are this morning? God bless our heritage and the things that we have been taught. It's tremendous. But as long as we live, we need to seek God and seek truth from His Word, from the written Word. Seek the brotherhood. We have a hunger and a thirst after truth and not a love for self. Willing to lay down ourselves. Willing to be, willing to admit our mistakes and ask for forgiveness. One of the ways that we can develop a love for truth is by realizing our own inadequacy. When I feel like I've been a Mennonite for so long and I know so much, it's easy to get you start to refer to your, honestly, it's easy to refer to yourself. We wouldn't say this, but as a God in ourselves. Because we start to analyze things through our own opinions and our own thoughts, our own experiences. And there's a place for some of that, but it must come back to the Word of God. And to have good congregational life, are we looking into the Word for truth and not looking to ourselves? Another point, our congregation this morning is made up of homes. To contribute to congregational life, we need to have godly homes. The church needs homes that are seeking to draw attention to God. 1 Peter 3, there's a number of verses there we could look at. Chapter 3, 1 to 7, talks about home and home life, how things need to work together. The church needs homes that are seeking to draw attention to God. When your love for God supersedes your love for self, then your focus will be on eternal values over material values or personal values. So the question this morning, where is your love? As you think about home life, what's the most important thing to you? Is it to follow God's pattern of faithfulness and love for your spouse? Love for your children, connecting with your children, that's God's way, and it produces stable homes. The church needs homes that are teaching children the value of submission and obedience. I think it was, and I probably mentioned this before, as a young father, I don't know, had several children, and some of you are at that stage where the children are growing up, and I ask an older man that had raised a number of children, I ask him, what's one of the most important things that I can do for my family? And he said, John, he said, one of the most important things that you can do for your family is teach your children what no means. Kind of caught me a little bit off guard. I thought that was that was good. But as life moves on, I think that is so important that we teach them, that's just one of the small aspects of home life, that we teach them what no means. Because there's things in life, it's actually right here, life is found through death to self. If we don't learn how to say no to ourselves, I don't think we can expect to experience eternal life, the abundant life that Christ has for us. And as we teach our children to be able to say no to themselves and their own carnal nature and say yes to Christ, that helps to produce godly homes. Another point, to contribute to congregational life, we need to be willing to suffer. There's a number of verses, chapter 4 here, if you're still in chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin." Being willing to suffer. Do you like to suffer? Well, I sure don't, I can promise you that. And I don't think there's many other people that like to suffer. But a question about in church life, will people make mistakes in church life? Will people ever say something that they shouldn't say? Will brothers and sisters need to be forgiven because there was mistakes? Well, we know the answer. Obviously, the answer is yes. Somehow it's easy for me to think that a church should be a haven of rest, a place where everybody's kind and willing to forgive and things go smoothly and peaceful. And I think that's all of our goal. But in reality, that's not the way. As long as we're in our human bodies, and we're not going to experience that until we get to heaven. There's opportunity, there's a need for forgiveness and forbearance. For the Christian, there's a higher calling than pampering self. Life is not all about me, it's about serving others. Life is found through death to self, being willing to suffer. Are you willing to suffer this morning for the sake of the brotherhood? Who is it in congregational life? Who are the ones that cause offenses? Sometimes it's the weak. Sometimes it's those who feel like, maybe like, God forbid, me sometimes feel like we have it together. Could I be the one that's offensive just because of I feel like I know a lot? I think that's truly possible. God help us to be open to the fact that I could be causing an offense. Willing to change. It may be the weak. It may be the ones that are struggling with something in their own life. But our goal this morning is to be broken to self and find freedom in life through Christ. God, even when we make mistakes, we can be willing to ask for forgiveness and correction, find correction and find help, and we can experience a blessing in church life as we do that. Be willing to ground accusations rather than conducting them. So to contribute to congregational life, we need to be willing, even willing sometimes to suffer. Life is found through death to self. I'm just going to breeze through a few other ones that I have here. 1 Peter 5:7, congregational life, we need to be willing to pray for each other. What's your prayer life like this morning? I think that's something that I need to continually work on. If I do not have everything together, and I need you and the body and the church, we need God. We want to be connected. We want Christ as our cornerstone. We need prayer. We need to connect to God through prayer. What is your prayer life like? Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are you praying for your brothers and sisters? I think that's imperative. To contribute to congregational life, we need to be humble. In Proverbs it says, only by pride cometh contention. We need to be humble. And that's imperative. Pride is directly contradictory to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Life is found through death to self. Death to self is not pride. It's the opposite of that. God help us to see ourselves as nothing without Christ. We need to be humble. To contribute to congregational life, we need to communicate. Communication is super important. I'd really like us to think about this. Again, just a real small illustration. It's been quite a while ago, and you've probably experienced this also. But there was a wedding that we were at, and then a newly married couple gets up to give a speech at the wedding. They walked up to the mic and started talking, and no one could hear them. And somebody adjusted something, and he taps on the mic. And you know what he says next? He says, "Can you hear me now?" And got everybody's attention. I'd just like us to think about that this morning. Can you hear me now? There's people that want to talk to you. It might be my wife. It might be my children. It might be the youth. It might be another brother or sister. Can we hear each other? If we want to have good congregational life, aren't we going to have to talk to each other and communicate? Can you hear me now? Good congregational life, we need to be willing to communicate. To contribute to congregational life, we need to love. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, fervent charity among ourselves. We need to have love for the brotherhood. To contribute to congregational life, we need to care. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Do you care about this church? Do I care about this church? I think the level of care and intention that we have will be reflected by our brotherhood relationships. God help us to have our vision on things of eternity and the relationships around us that we would actually care. Another point, contributing to congregational life, we need to notice the struggling. There's always, each one of us face difficulties and trials in life, and there's struggles that we face. And when church life, when we can connect and we can find strength and encouragement, it makes it real. But we need to be willing to notice, look beyond ourselves and notice the struggling. And the last point, to contribute to congregational life, we need to be part of the solution. It's pretty easy to identify the problems in congregational life. Each one of us, if we think about it, we can quickly look around and see what we wish would change or what was different. But this morning, take personal responsibility to make it happen. We should be the solution that I wish my brother or sister would be. How can that happen this morning? That's our goal. That's what we want. We want good church life, and I feel like we have good church life. I'm thankful for it, thankful for each of you. How can that continue? That's how it continues. Real congregational life is found through death to self, giving up or surrendering my own way. Looking to Jesus as the answer, looking to our brothers for help, being willing to crucify the flesh, choose what's right, do what's right, and when we do that, God has a blessing for those kind of people. He wants to multiply that blessing. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. God help us, God help you, each one of us, wherever you, God has called you, to be faithful and to be a blessing as you contribute to congregational life God's way, not our way. Let's kneel together for prayer.